Oh. so good to be back in the house of the Lord. Feels like I've been gone forever. Amen. Just feels wonderful to be gathered with you here and feel God's presence. Amen. Nothing I'd rather be doing than being right here with you, giving glory and honor to God. Amen. Amen. If you're joining us by way of the internet tonight, pray that you just give it your all. Create that atmosphere in your home. I truly believe God can touch you wherever you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, We Choose the Fear of the Lord. I haven't sung that one in a while. Think about His love. Amen.
Think about His love. Measure
musicians play something softly there, we'll bring these needs before the Lord. I'd like to ask Brother Ben Rafferty if he would get prepared to take these before the Lord as we mention them. Summer mentioned this morning, we want to continue to remember John Anthony and Sister Lily. They're traveling in Arizona. I believe we're having a mission offering tonight, so we want to be mindful of that. Also, we want to remember Sister Christy Williams, who is in the hospital. We want to remember the Swafford family tonight. We want to remember Brother Matt Cross. I believe he had to work today and was not able to be with us. I want to remember a special need here. It says, please remember Brother Don Sherman, who is in very serious condition. He is a deacon in Brother Shrewsbury's church in Beckley, West Virginia. And that's from Brother Larry Pruitt. And so we want to remember that special need in prayer. God grant healing to this brother. Also, we want to remember Sister Anita Gill in prayer. She has her heart surgery tomorrow in New York. And this request is from Brother Anwar. Amen. The unspoken prayer request by the uplifting of hands. God knows your needs. Just hold those before Him. Tonight, as Brother Ben comes, come now, Brother Ben.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to say what a pleasure it is to be with you, Father, and to be with our brothers and sisters of like precious faith this afternoon, Lord. And Lord, these were some pretty serious prayer requests that our brother Jaron read, Father, here. Lord, I just ask, Father, that you would go to each situation, Lord, and touch the person, Father, Lord, be with them, be their comfort, Lord. Lord, and we just ask that you'll have your way in each of the situations, Father. Lord, for those that raise their hands, Father, unspoken prayer requests, Father, Lord, whether they have spiritual, Lord, physical, financial situations, Lord, Lord, we are so thankful that you are a big God that we can come to, Father, that there is a place that we can hide, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you'll be with those unspoken prayer requests, Lord. We ask that you be with our brother Jaron. Lord, bless him, Father, as he continues to lead us in worship, Lord, and help us to get our hearts in the right place, Father, as our pastor comes, Father, that we're open, Father, to the Word. And Lord, we just ask that you bless Brother Barry as he speaks to us, Father. Help us to do our part to pull. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ben. You may have your seats. Hallelujah. I'd like to sing that song, Are You Washed in the Blood? Maybe we'll try the same key. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Well, are you washed in the blood, in the soul? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment by the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready and be clouds, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside your garments that are stained with sin. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Come on, let's stand and sing. In the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Yes, I'm washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Spotless, they are white as snow. Yes, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Of course, again, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Some praise tonight. Hallelujah. Put those hands together for Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Every promise in the book is mine. Amen. Every chapter, every verse, every line.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. In the book is mine. Yes, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Oh, every promise in the book. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Oh, give me all of my land.
To the King, O King, sing Hosanna,
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, Lord. Amen. Let's sing one more. These are the days of Elijah. One of my favorite songs. Amen.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, a famine and darkness and sorrow, still we are the voice in the desert crying. And these are the days of your servant David redeemed. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are wide as in the world. And we are the laborers in your like Jehovah. There's no God 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 like Jehovah. Behold, He comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. The trumpets call, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee. Now to Zion's hill salvation comes.
Again now.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, He comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Oh, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Oh, praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's praise Him once again. I believe He's worthy of that praise. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a reason we ought to shout and scream. It's because of what Jesus done for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Him. You may be seated. We have a special tonight from Sister Sarah Vasaki. As she's preparing to come, maybe we could just sing that song, Be It Unto Me According to Thy Word. Hallelujah. Don't you love Him? You love to praise Him. You love that feeling when you can just let go. Hallelujah. Be it unto me according to your word.
truth that sets me free. According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me.
Amen, sister.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Cause I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Cause I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your
Appreciate that beautiful song. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll take up our evening offering. Remember to give as unto the Lord, knowing that your tithes and offerings go around the world to further God's kingdom. Amen. Brother Mike Pritchard, would you lead us in prayer? Let's sing that song, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb, as Brother Barry prepares to come forward.
I've heard how Christians long ago were brought before the tyrants, the wrong. They were told that he would spare their lives, that they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny. Like a great angelic choir sings, I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come, and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus still goes on. And now the time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. So one by sounds on that final day, I can listen boldly say, come on, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my
God, we pledge our hearts to you this evening afresh, asking, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. We commit our time together now into your hands, praying that you would bless all that is said, all that is done, and our fellowship. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And everybody said, and everybody has a Bible, let's turn to Psalm 44. I believe that's it. And we'll read a verse or two just while you're standing there tonight. Psalm 44, verse 22. Let's carry on a little bit from where we were this morning. David writes, "Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our afflictions and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth." Remember, you can't go any lower than this. This is where David was. God, where are you? We need you. And I don't see you. Our soul is bowed down to the dust. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I didn't hear any of the prayer requests this evening, but the Whitlocks had to go back. Brother David had to work this evening, and they're doing something special there. So he is the family's out there with us this evening. I've been asked to make this announcement about books and CDs and tapes and so forth that are in our library. There are books and CDs and different materials that are taken out and never returned. There are some things that have been taken out and returned in poor shape. Just a reminder. Just saying. So those things that we put in there are for everyone. Okay, so if you take them out, if you don't mind, take a look. Make sure if you've got something in there, there's some things that have been checked out for at least 5 or 6 years. You know, if your CD player is slow, let me know. We can help out with that. But if you don't mind making a check, that would be great, because especially some of the things like the biographies and so forth that are there, we like to circulate those, and it's really nice if all of the CDs are there in the package and so forth. So take a look at that if you don't mind. And if you're not sure if you have something, I think we have records of that in the library. So, you know, there's cameras and x-ray machines and all those scanners and all those kinds of things. So you are on record. So, but seriously, if you don't mind checking it, if you're not sure you have something, check with Sister Frieda. And we should have record of that, so we can help you along there. Brother John, why don't you come on? Over in Scotland, my wife and I travel many, many times. And when you think back of the great men of God that have risen and ministered in and out of Scotland over the years, you would think Scotland would be a bastion of of the faith, a place of you know, great gatherings of the faithful people. And yet, sometimes it's a shocking thing to see how few believers there are in a place with such a great spiritual history as Scotland. I remember standing with Brother Ron Borthwick in the city of Edinburgh, and we were standing in front of a parking lot, and he said, you know, take a look. He said, it's a very special place. And I said, it's just a parking lot. He said, this is pavement over the grave of John Knox. And John Knox was the person who Brother Branham mentioned, was one who wept until his family had to feed him with a spoon. He wept over the souls of the people in Scotland and the work that he did. And they needed the parking lot. And the people are so secular in that part of the world now, just paved it over and removed the memorial to John Knox. And it's just a tragedy when you think about where they are now compared to where they were. Well, the Cockman family were over a couple of weeks ago and visited Scotland, visited the church there, Brother McQuay, and the saints over there. And so Brother John's here, and this is John Cockman, by the way, and wanted him to come and just give a very short testimony of his trip and experiences over in Scotland.
Thank you. We had a wonderful time over there. And I tell you what, it's an encouragement to us, but also an encouragement to other believers. Whenever you travel to a different part of the country, if you just check with Brother Barry and say, is there a church nearby that we could just visit and worship and fellowship with? And it's just an encouragement all the way around. When you we flew into London and then traveled north to Scotland. And let me tell you, the trains in London don't go through the good neighborhoods. If you want to see the dark side of the city, ride the overground. And sometimes can be an oppressive spirit that just comes over you as you look at the multitudes and the millions of people who are without Christ. And over all of that, the dirty buildings and the high rises and everything, you'll catch a glimpse as you go past of a steeple, and it's almost like a little breath of fresh air, and it lifts your spirits. And I tell you what, when we pulled into the university there where Brother Mekwi's fellowship meets, and we saw the believers coming in out of the parking lot, and we saw them pulling up in their cars, it was as if all the steeples of London had just gathered together in one place, and it was just such an uplifting feeling after the traveling through Edinburgh and Glasgow and whatever, and just seeing how, you know, we've got all these missionary biographies talking about the library here, and there's so much of the focus of those is on what went on in the UK, and we went ourselves to the church and the grave of John Wesley and to the memorial of John Knox that's been moved into London. And this and that, but that spirit has died in the UK. It's so hard to find anymore. And so so what a joy and an uplifting it was for us to fellowship with the other believers. Small assembly, but so diverse. Members from Nigeria, from Cameroon, the pastor's from Cameroon. When we met him, when my brother Coffee was introduced to me, he said, Juan Mekwi. And I thought, oh, that's a good Scottish name, Mekwi. But the brothers from Cameroon, Mekwi, something like that. And so, but we met believers from Nepal, from I think I said Nigeria, from Zimbabwe as well,
Great Britain,
and Congo, also from Great Britain, believe it or not, and people all the way from areas of Scotland and even Ireland and England. Mm-hmm. So it was a wonderful experience. We had dinner with a pastor, Don Bailey from Manchester, and his wife, and got to fellowship with them for a while. We were going to have a prayer meeting on Wednesday night with Brother Frank Hall in London, but as it turns out, we had to leave really early the next morning. We had to drop off a rental car, so we didn't get to do that. But I just want to encourage you as you go out and you travel, even if it's not overseas, to check with the brother and say, is there a fellowship near this area or along our route? And you can usually, he has a lot of contacts, and he can usually say, here's a group you can worship with. On the way back through, we stopped and saw, stopped in Blacksburg, and met the family here for a
dinner
at Cracker Barrel. The Whitlocks, they're on here this evening. And guess what? As we sat down, another group behind us kind of stood up, and people started applauding. And I thought, what's going on here? And I looked, and there was a gentleman standing there. And I thought, this guy looks familiar. And as it turns out, it was the former president, Jimmy Carter, was eating with us at Cracker Barrel. So when you travel, you never know what you're going to run into. So I would encourage it.
I told him you were going to be there.
Yeah.
You and the Whitlocks. So, you know, they were just passing through. And I said, hey, you know, we're not there. But, you know, Brother John, Brother David are going to be there and their families. So I think the happiest person that evening at the Cracker Barrel, though, was the manager. The manager was beaming.
He was glowing. He was walking on air.
Glowing. That now, you know, Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter has a very good friend who lives in Narrows, somewhere like that, in one of the little towns outside of Blacksburg. And so he's been known to come through our area. So I told him, you know. I visited the church in Scotland many times, and the believers over there, and it's just a wonderful group of folks, but they are few and far between, that's for sure. So we're glad that you got to connect and see some of the saints there, just wonderful believers. There are wonderful believers that are scattered all over the world and united by common belief. And when you get with them, it's just like you're plugged into home, you know, because it's the same spirit. You can imagine how great it will be when we all get together. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, we've already read the scripture. I'm sorry. We're going to leave you take your seats here. Sorry. Everyone's allowed one mistake in the service. No review except a couple screens. Because I love this statement. Brother Branham said, now there are times and things that happen that changes the whole course of our life. There are certain things that happen. Brother Branham's example of this was Moses at the burning bush. He has an unusual life. He's going through the all of the steps that God's led him. And then all of a sudden he meets the burning bush. And nothing is the same after that. There are tragedies sometimes that redefine our life. There are events that take place that redefine things in our life. And Brother Branham says, we know that. We're all aware. Certain things take place along life's journey that change the whole course of life for us. God is not unaware of these epochs in our life, in our journey. God is not unaware of these events and how they happen. So the best thing that we can do is when we get to those places and we come to those transitions is to pay attention to what God is trying to teach us, what God is trying to show us in times like that. Now, it's already 10 to 6, all right? So I'm not going to be long. We have a snack on the way already. It's already ordered. It's on the way. So I'm not going to be long. And I know it's hot and oppressive here. I do have a bit of good news, though. It's 101 degrees in Phoenix. And it's 114 in Pakistan today, right? And they don't have air conditioning. That's what we call good news, folks. That's good news, all right? So bear with me now. As we looked at our text here this morning, and we brought this in this morning, that David was crying out to God and looking for God, because there are times in our life when we go through things and we really need God to do something definitive. And there are times when you feel like you're all alone. Times when you feel like nobody really understands. Nobody can relate to what you're going through. And like Elijah, when he left his servant after Jezebel threatened him, and he left his servant and went alone underneath that juniper tree, kind of the last stand. Lord, unless you do something, I'm lost. And God's response to that is a very, very important thing. Because he didn't condemn Elijah. He did not chastise him at all, but rather fed him something very special so that he could continue the journey. And reassured him, I know the journey is too great for thee. So I want you to go and do this and do this and do something else. And God led Elijah to do specific things after that whole event. He didn't send them back and say, no, look, you got to go back to Jezebel and Ahab. You got to go back and tell them this. And he didn't do that. Matter of fact, he never sent them back to Ahab and Jezebel again. But he sent them off and had them do three different things altogether. Because God still had a purpose for Elijah, and then eventually took him off the scene and brought Elisha on the scene after that. So there are times when you have those feelings when you're all alone. And many times it's depressing for people because of what we go through. Like David said, it's good for me that I have been afflicted that I might learn thy statutes. There is always something to learn in the valleys we go through. Always something to learn in the valleys we go through. Sometimes God allows you to go through things just so you can be a comfort to somebody else who's going through a valley and may need your counsel and may need your encouragement during that time. Brother Branham said to a woman in the prayer line, great big strong-looking woman like that, he said, yet afflicted with nerves, that's the hardest thing in the world. It's a very real thing when somebody struggles with that. Now, Brother Branham says in the Nine Time and Sign, and this is where he talks personally, and we've got to remember now, Brother Branham is a Aries male. Aries male. We have a few here. Aries males are a little bit different than other males. They're just a little bit different. And Brother Branham certainly was sensitive. And in this message, he talks about some of the things personally that he went through. And how that, you know, he felt like people didn't love him. He didn't have any friends. People didn't want him. They didn't want to associate with him. And Brother Branham, in this opening paragraph, he says, one of my main things that's always hurt me through my life is a nervous condition. Now stop for a minute, because nervous people, Brother Branham said, often, not all the time, but often are spiritual people. And they'll go through, nervous people and spiritual people will go through things that many times people don't really understand. And I will tell you that there's things that Brother Branham experienced just by his own description that I can relate to a little bit, but have no idea how great the feelings that he must have experienced just because of the spiritual pressures and the spiritual backwash, if you like, the aftermath of being in the great meetings and the great struggles, spiritual struggles that he encountered. And he said, when I get so worn, I get really weary, feeling like nobody cares for you. You have it too, and I just happen to have a real overdose of it. Gets real bad sometimes, and many of those visions, it just gets me. Now stop for a minute. What does Brother Branham need in a situation like this? I've asked you this question before. What's the remedy here for Brother Branham? When he says that he feels like, I feel like nobody cares. Nobody cares for you. What's the remedy? The remedy is us. The remedy here is for us to get around him and say, but we do care. We do love you. You are special. You're someone that we love and we care for, right? Who better than us to be able to get around Brother Branham and help him? He probably doesn't need a doctor here. He probably doesn't need medication here. He's just going through this feeling because he's born that way. He called it taking a handful out of the human grab bag. And he said, I got certain attributes that came. He said, you know, that's the way he was trying to explain all of this at the Mayo Clinic. And he said, I got certain things just by reaching into the human grab bag and got certain attributes and qualities about me. He said, one of those is a nervous condition. Hey, Brother Branham needs people around him to say, Brother Branham, hey, we love you. You're human just like us, and you got faults just like us, but we love you. That's what he needs. And you know what? Many times, that's just what we need. Somebody say amen. Amen. In our own assembly right here, we need to encourage one another and say, hey, listen, I know you're going through a valley. I know you're going through a tough time. I know things are not like you expected them to turn out, but you know what? We love you anyway. Tell me how I can pray for you. Tell me how I can help you. Tell me what I can do besides what we're already doing as a body. Is there anything extra I can do? And to come in close and to sometimes put our arms around somebody and say, hey, we just want you to know. Somebody was telling me today that they came in, they were going through a difficult period, difficult thing that happened in their family, and come in the door, in the front door, and one of the deacons just came and, just kind of wrapped their arms around the brother and said, hey, praying for you, love you, and appreciate you. He said that was just the thing I needed just at that moment. That's the way it should work. And you just don't realize what a price goes with that. You get to thinking, here I am 50 years old and I've done nothing for the Lord. Hello? This is Brother Branham saying this? 50 years old and haven't done anything for the Lord? Hello? He's gone around the world 7 times. He's ministered to all nations practically, or all the, multitudes of nations and people around the world, all confronted all kinds of religions, done all kinds of miracles, dead are raised, the blind see, the deaf hear, seals have been opened. This is 1963 in August. The seals have been opened. Daniel, 70 weeks, spoken words, the original seed, church ages, all of it coming out. And he says, here I am 50 years old and I've done nothing for the Lord. Then you get to what we used to call the blues. Pop used to talk about it, and I wondered what he meant. And I sure know now what he meant. You get the feeling that way, which is none of it true. I'm quoting. I said that like I wasn't, but I was. Pop used to talk about it and wondered what he meant. Stop. You should be very careful before you criticize somebody who may be going through a down time. And say, well, hey, if you were a believer, you wouldn't have times like that. You have to be real careful before you say that. That's about as silly as saying, my kids will never do that in church. My kids are not going to act like that. Oh, boy, why don't they fix that? My kids are not going to be like that. That's pretty silly. Don't say that. Because God knows what's on the railroad line. Right? Don't say that. Pop used to talk about it and wondered. I wondered what he meant. I sure know now what he meant. You get feeling that way, which none of it is true, but you know what? You still feel it, don't you? Somebody raise their hand and say amen. You sure feel it, though. Like mothers sometimes will try to teach their young girls to be popular. You make that young girl about... Now, you got to watch this quote. All right? Tell you what, I'll give you this quote and I'll leave town tonight. All right, I won't stick around tonight. I'll leave town. But let me give it to you anyway, okay? Mothers sometimes will try to teach their young girls to be popular. That's a dangerous little thing there. Doing things to make their girls popular. Doing things to get their girls married. Just like the mother who sent the boy to the winter youth retreat with a wedding ring, with an engagement ring, right? He said, just in case you might need it. I thought, wow. To make that young girl a ballet dancer or something, and you're giving her arsenic that'll do nothing but break her heart, send her to a devil's hell and a sinner's grave, and there's nothing good can come of it. Nothing good can come out of that. But you think, if my daughter could be such and such, send them over to the YWCA, and there they practice rock and roll, and the old people would get out for a barn dance and a hoedown and so forth, get around 30 years old, and they get the blues. And think, I've gotten this old, and I haven't sowed enough wild oats yet. Probably got 3 or 4 kids. And now they're into this routine, and they think, wow, is the only thing that there is in life is washing dishes and changing diapers? Is that the only thing that there is in life? And they're 30 years old. And they're thinking, they try to sometimes cheat in their marriage vows, men and women, both guilty. What's the matter? It's something that they're lacking. So in other words, the mother's thinking now was instrumental in pushing this girl into something she probably wasn't ready for. Right? And thinking, okay, now this is going to be the best thing. And she's deciding what's best for this child. I have never told you this story before. There was a lady who came to Brother Branham, not in a recorded prayer line, but she came to Brother Branham to have her son prayed for. And her son was 8 years old. The boy was dressed as a girl. And this mother, who had had several boys, really wanted to have a girl. Really wanted to have a girl. Strongly. And so when this boy, the last one, was born, absolutely normal, perfect boy. But the mother so expressed her desire that she wanted to have a girl, she started to lean that boy towards a feminine way of life, began to dress him feminine, began to introduce feminine things to him, so that he had, you know, had long curly hair, dressed up like a girl. And Brother Branham gets in front of this boy. Now he's 8 years old, and now we got a problem. Now this has become a problem, because now he's being talked about, and now he's got to go to school, and he's got, you know, I mean, this has now become a problem. And this mother doesn't know what to do, because she's projected this onto this boy, that this is a girl. Brother Branham takes the boy, and he said, as he begins to pray about this, he says, "Sister, there's nothing wrong with this boy. You did this. And you projected this spirit onto this boy." She said, Brother Branham said, "There's absolutely nothing wrong with this boy." Brother Branham prayed and sent them on their way. That snapped that spirit that was on that mother. And that boy became an absolutely normal boy. He loved to hunt and fish and run in the woods and do all kinds of things that boys do. There was nothing absolutely wrong with that boy. But that mother's spirit was strong enough to project femininity onto the spirit of that boy and actually change him. So Brother Branham says sometimes a mother will try to, you know, influence things here. And then down the road here we find that these kids, all of a sudden they're lacking something. Brother Branham has great wisdom. He says, "Be not afraid." 1961. I got to watch on my time here now, so I'm going to keep moving on. "You got a nervous condition," he says, somebody in the prayer line, "got a cough." That's what makes you cough, is your nerves. I'd like to see the test that proves that. I'd like to see the medical examination that comes up with that conclusion here. He says it's your nerves. You're afraid there's something wrong in your throat, but it isn't. When you get nervous, that's when you cough more. That's not your main thing, though. You're praying for somebody else, had an accident. He said your son is in the hospital, he's semi-conscious. And you're scared whether he would die, whether he's been saved, but you're a little afraid. It's okay. So that every day now she's living. This is getting worse now, because it's all antagonized by the fact that her son is in the hospital. He's not right with God. He's not where he should be with God. And so now this is getting worse. It's exacerbated. And she's now thinking, wow, not only is there a problem with my son, but now I got a problem here with my throat. She's convinced of that. If she lived in the days of Google, she'd probably be convinced of that. I got a throat problem. It's like me when I went to the doctor and I got bent fingers and things like that, and I figured I had rheumatoid arthritis. Based on my calculations and my research, hey, I did like a lot of other people do, got on the internet and, you know, diagnosed myself and went to the doctor and I said, "Hey, doc, look, I said, this is rheumatoid arthritis." He said, "No, it's not." I said, "Yes, it is." He said, "No, it's not. It's osteoarthritis." And I said, "No, no, 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 no." Then I realized what I just said. But you understand now, she's convinced here there's a problem with her throat. It's not a problem with her throat at all. That's why sometimes you kind of need to stand back and say, Lord, something's changed. Something's going on here. Show me. Tell me the truth here. Because the truth is going to set her free. Throat medication is not going to help her. Right? In reality, throat medication is probably going to ease it, but it's not going to cure it. It's a very important point. And he said, you're scared whether he would die. But he said, it's okay. Go on. He'll come out of it. Believe with all your heart and don't doubt. Have faith. Doesn't even address the situation with her throat. Because that's caused by something else. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. God does not intend you to be sick. God made you in his likeness. He wants you to be well. He's done everything he can to keep you well. And Satan's against you. That's why the battle a lot of times rages here. Somebody say amen. The battle rages here. Wake up in the morning worrying about things and, you know, trouble about things and so forth. And we go through that. As human beings, we go through that. Especially now where we have access to a lot of information, right? We're all kind of semi-professional doctors. We all kind of, you know, feel like we got to figure it out here. And if we don't know what's wrong with ourselves, we certainly know what's wrong with our neighbor, right? Because we're able to look at that. But let me tell you, at the end of the day, God did not intend you to be sick. Not at all. And the world we're going to, there won't be any sickness follow us over there. It'll be all gone, glory to God. It'll be all finished, it'll be all over. So to me, the key piece of advice is for us to keep our mind stayed on Him. No matter what we go through, no matter what news you get, keep your mind stayed on Him. That will stabilize you more than anything else. You're suffering from a mental oppression, which is nervousness. Keep having strange, crazy thoughts, especially late of an evening. You get real weak. Many times you have to sit down. Now remember this morning I told you that light affects people's mood and feeling. And it's important for us to kind of even flag that and document that. That at the end of the day, that's true. When the sun is setting, that's true. In the mornings I feel great. But in the evenings I feel depressed and lonely and afraid and all the rest of it. I feel like something's happening. Now, when it comes to things like having strange and crazy thoughts, all of us do. None of us are immune from that. We all have strange and crazy thoughts. Your job is to find out where those thoughts are coming from. And the basic question we have to ask is this coming from God or is it coming from the enemy? If something's telling you in your mind that you need to jump off a ledge and, you know, kill yourself, we know that doesn't come from God. But sometimes there can be a voice that's urging you to do something that maybe you have left undone or something you've tried to conceal and you need to fix it. And you can fix it. You need maybe to make something right. You need to restore something. You need to be repentant for something. And the Holy Spirit might be dealing with your heart. Sometimes our biggest challenge is simply to find out where that voice is coming from. And if it's coming from God, you don't want to stifle it. You want to obey that. You want to say, Lord, aha. But if it's coming from the enemy, then you want to identify that. And then you can rebuke it confidently. And you can say, Lord, I don't believe that voice is coming from you. And I rebuke that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've advised people many times to go get the message, be certain of God, and learn the principle that Brother Branham teaches us. And I've said it to you before. If you don't mind, let me repeat it. Brother Branham said, and be certain of God. He says, when things happen to you that you don't understand, and maybe there's questions that you have, he said, I go back in my life and I overturn every stone I can. Go back and I begin to walk back through life and looking at every stone to figure out whether there's something that's undone, something I need to make right, something that I need to square up with somebody. And he said, if I find something, I'll act on it right then. And he said, in many places, he said, act quickly. Don't leave it and say, I'll do it in, you know, next year. But he said, we act quickly and make those things right. If we don't find anything in our prayerful search, he said, then you need to be certain of God. You need to hold your ground and say, Lord, if there is something, then show me. But if it's not something I need to do and something you're trying to get my attention about, then Lord, let me have victory over this and go on my way. Because sometimes we got to find out whether that's of God or whether it's the enemy. He says again to this lady, when the sun's setting, a gloomy spell gets on you and the devil's trying to tell you you're going to lose your mind. Those things are true, lady. What I'm telling you, those things are true. He says, you were praying before you came. God, if you'll just give me a prayer card. Now, God has rewarded your faith and heals you. It's gone. It was caused from menopause. He said, but you're going to be well. It's going to be a time. He doesn't pray that away because that's a season of life. Like I said, it's something that she's not caused. It's just something that she's gone through. It's just like the feeling a woman has after she's had a child and the hormonal imbalance is imbalanced again. There's a certain hormonal influence that takes place during pregnancy, and then after pregnancy things go back to normal. That can be very difficult for some women. Now, we can't use definitive terms in cases like this, where every woman goes through this and every man's going to go through a midlife crisis. It doesn't happen that way because we're all made differently. Some men, I mean, they just blow past everything. They're not emotional at all, and they're not sensitive that way. Some men are like that. Some women are like that. We're not all built the same way. We're not all Aries. We're not all Gemini, right? I'm a Gemini. I got to deal with Gemini stuff all the time. There's two of me. You only see one, but there's two of me. I'm big enough probably to have two, but there's two of me, and I do the work of two. That's just the way I am, the twin, Gemini, the twin. And so I'm different than an Aries. I look at life differently than my Aries boys do and my Aries wife. They look at things a little bit differently than Geminis do. I'm not going to get to the rapture any quicker than they will, although I think I will, because I'm a type A Gemini, which is a double whammy. Brother Branham said, "This lady, Satan lied to you. I've seen a dark shadow come to you. Now you're going to lose your mind, go crazy." He said that to you and suggested suicide and everything. But it didn't do a bit of good. God's healed you. You're going home now to be well. Have faith in God. Here's a person now who's really gone low in that valley, right? And thinking, even, I want to end my life. I'd rather die. And that's what we read that Elijah went through. This is a real feeling that somebody would have. Now, let me carry this on just a little bit. Brother Bam says, now, how old are you, sister? He said, it's menopause. It's change of life. You've got all kinds of feelings, and there's really nothing wrong. But hormones are ceasing in your body that don't put out no more. Your body actually puts out hormones, and now it's putting out hormones. And now it's not putting out hormones anymore. It's a hormonal change. Hormones affect everything in your body. And he said, it's a nature thing. It's not a spiritual thing. It's a nature thing. It's not a spiritual thing, it's a nature thing. Hello? But a person who's going through that, and a husband who's living with somebody who's going through that, can sometimes blame this on the devil. And the devil has nothing to do with it, in reality. Right? I mean, we can trace it back to the fall, and yes, you know, the fall is the root cause of all the problems and so forth. But this woman might not be a sinner at all. She's still a sister, still loves the Lord, but going through a season. And therefore, we should make sure we call it what it is. And after a while, it'll be over. But now the devil will run you crazy if he can. So Brother Branham does not say, to lay hands on her and say, Lord, cast this demon out of her. He doesn't do that. He's not chastising her because she's going through that. He's rather simply saying, after a while, it'll be over. But now the devil will run you crazy if he can. Because he'll affect your thinking when you go through that. But don't let him do it. Look to Christ now and be healed. So as much as you can, you need to take the chains that hold the anchor and wrap them around you and make sure that you're chained real tight to that anchor so that the storms that strike you during that season, they won't sink you. They won't overwhelm you, but you're tied to that anchor. You're tied to something that's a very solid thing. But now, I want to add this part and say that there are spiritual causes to problems that we have. Like we said this morning, it can be an unforgiving spirit. It can be anger, excessive anger. It can be different things that we open the door to in our lives. Let me give you just a couple of examples here. In Believe Thee That I Am Able to Do This, in 1950, Brother Branham was talking to somebody. He said, you've tried everything in the world nearly to get well. You've been to doctors. It's a nerve condition. Nothing can help you, but Jesus will help you now. In other words, you've tried all the remedies that are available. Now, where that started was on the prostate. But what really is doing it is a demon. It haunts you. You have no peace at all. Day and night, it's after you. It seems like you just get gloomy feelings in there. Weary. Don't sleep. Nervous, getting up at night, How would I know except God reveals that to me? And down through your life, you've had a trouble. Imagine now, he's tried everything. Been to doctors and asked questions and, you know, Google everything he possibly could prior to Google. But you understand, he's probably searched for answers here and felt like, wow, there's something really wrong with me. And here's Brother Branham looking at that. And let me assure you what he's doing. He's looking for a cause. He's not just looking for the remedy. He's looking for the cause. Because you know what? It's truth that sets you free. Right? Everybody still awake? Watch now. It's talking to the same person. When you were a little boy, knee pants on. It's a dog that chased you. Big dog, run to a porch. How marvelous. Not marvelous that the dog chased him. Not marvelous that the dog scared the gizzard out of him. Marvelous now that we know where this is coming from. How marvelous God is to show us this. I'm going to ask him to let it leave you. Will you take my word and do as I tell you? While I pray, you say, and I love this. While I pray, you say this. Jesus, I believe with all my heart. Now I commit myself to you. I believe that prayer of faith is going to save me. You say this now. While I pray, you say this. That's a great thing when a prophet tells you what to pray. And you're not guessing when you're standing in front of God. Our Heavenly Father, Thou art here to bless my brother, Son, Thou Son of God, who's able to reveal the very thoughts of our hearts. Free this poor caged mortal in the cage that he can't free himself, like an eagle in a cage beating his wings until he's weary and falls backwards. O Father, be merciful to him, Thou demon tormenting his life. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, leave him. And he goes on and talks about it. So here's a young boy going through a traumatic event that eventually affects the prostate, which eventually causes him to be a nervous wreck later in his life. Tries every solution possible, but only God would know that this triggered this, which triggers this, causes this. We know now what the cause of this thing is. Lord, free him from that. And you know what? The condition goes away. I pray, Lord, do the same to us. We cannot, if we could, we would shield our children from traumatic events. We really can't do that. I mean, as much as we would like to do it as parents, we'd love to do it. As a pastor, I'd love to shield you from any spiritually traumatic event. Any false prophet, any false teaching, I'd love to shield you from that, but I can't. I do know this, that sometimes strong winds create deeper roots in all of us. Right? But I would say this, that Lord, if there are things that have happened that now become the basis for these other things that are triggered in our lives, Lord, heal us, deliver us from these things. Show us, Lord, so then we know how to pray. Show us so that we know how to approach God for healing in times like that. Again, Brother Branham says, now, you believe, lady? He said, you have many things. You have colon trouble, gallbladder trouble. You're nervous. And then on one great thing that's bothering you is a demon oppression. He said, you always feel depressed, like the devil's got you or something like that. You always feel like the devil's got you. You're having a spiritual battle, aren't you? And especially get that in the afternoon, after dinner, something like that. In the afternoon, it's worse than it is before morning because it makes you feel all upset. What is it? It's a nervousness that caused it. He said, it looks like there's an enemy fighting at you. He said, do you believe that God sent me to cast it away from you? Heavenly Father, and he prays there. He says, ask that spirit to leave her. You're exposed, Satan, and go from this woman. You're trying to make her commit suicide. This is a spiritual conflict. This is an example of an oppression where Satan's trying to overwhelm this woman, even to the place where she takes her life. He says, and you leave her. In Jesus Christ's name, he said, now it's over and you're going to be all right, so just go rejoicing and praising the Lord. I will guarantee you that everything in that woman's life would have been affected by the way she thought about things, feeling that everything she did was probably wrong because Satan was there to condemn everything she ever did. So whatever blessings that she experienced, and then coming to church, you can, Brother Branham said, you can be in an assembly where everybody is and the Spirit of God is moving and it'll lift those spirits off people and you'll feel free and blessed and healed and delivered. And then go right back out again and experience the same thing. But the power of the Holy Spirit is strong enough in a church like this to be able to lift those spirits off the people. It doesn't mean they're truly delivered. It only means that in this atmosphere, they feel free and they feel the liberation of the Holy Spirit, right? But he says they go right back out and go back to their same problems again because they were not truly delivered. They just experienced the freedom that the Holy Spirit brings. And I would say this, if you're one of those people that are affected like that, then you ought to just say, Lord, I don't want a temporary blessing. I want to be truly delivered. I want to be free. I don't want to try to take this into the world to come. I want to be free. I want to be able to put my head on the pillow at night and not have a million voices suggesting I'm wrong. Let's look at the remedies real quick. I've got to be real quick. I feel, Brother Bam said, like the rapture is just above the church. He said, this makes me feel so good. Well, in other words, we're close. We're in the season. All sins are under the blood. The Holy Spirit likes the Word, and the Word, what the Holy Spirit feeds on. Oh my, he said, it comes down, gets among the people, cleanses their sins, takes away their sickness, and takes their blues away. There's nothing like the joy of the Lord. And it's a blessing when the joy of the Lord makes you feel good. Number one, don't let it shock you that this kind of thing can happen to you. Don't let it shock you that you go through a valley. Don't let it shock you that you have times of feeling alone and despondent. Don't let it shock you. Because the pendulum swings both ways. And there are times when you feel full and friendly and everybody in the world loves you. And then there are times when the opposite occurs as well. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you or some unusual, solitary thing has happened to you that doesn't happen to anybody else. But I guarantee you, the devil will try to convince you, don't say anything about it. Don't say anything that you went to the doctor and told him that you're feeling blue and depressed. Whatever you do, don't tell anybody that, because they won't have any more confidence in you if you tell people that. And that's always Satan's tactic, to try to keep your problem out of the light. Satan hates the light. When you bring things into the light, that's when healing occurs. Somebody here one time asked me, they said, Brother Barry, I feel an urge to be baptized, rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm wondering, would that stumble people if I've been in the church for all these years and now I want to be rebaptized? I said, I think they would have more confidence in you because you were honest and realized this is a step you needed to take. And it was so. Second thing is, it's going to take more than what you have to overcome this problem. Because if you could, you would. If you could shake yourself out of it, you would. If you could climb your way out of that valley, you would. But it's going to take more than what you've got. Now, remember this. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Neither will he ever give you more than you can bear, right? But with every temptation, there comes a way of escape. Paul also said, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Hey, God looks at weakness differently than how we look at weakness. We look at weakness as the opposite of strength. When God sees a person who's in a position where they admit their weakness, God says, now I can do something. Now I can use this person. Now I can lead that person. Now I can take that person. God looks at weakness differently than we do. Now, sometimes God will remind you of your weakness when you realize, hey, you know what? I used to be able to tell my kids everything. And now I tell them, and they don't do what I tell them. Something's changed. And that goes on for a little while until something really serious happens. And then they go to God and they say, Lord, I thought I had this figured out. Now I realize I don't. And I need your help. Now, Lord, whatever it takes. And when you get to that place and you really mean it, God says, couldn't deal with him all those years when he thought, I got this, Lord. I got it. I know how to raise kids. I know how to do this. I know how to run my household. And I know how to kind of keep the boundaries around things myself. God loves it when you come to him and say, Lord, I've done the very best I can. But at this point, I need your help. And if you don't mind, can you show up on the scene in my house? Anybody ever prayed that way? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When you glory in your infirmities, not your achievements, not in your victories, but when you glory in your infirmities, then the power of Christ can rest upon you. Brother Bram said, now I can see now, when they were just about one step from going into the fiery furnace, the only person that gets in a hurry is you and I. God takes his time. As long as he's promised it, that's good enough. So God knows exactly when to show up. God knows exactly when to come in on the scene and to bring relief. Third thing, this is more of a class than a test. Do you know there's a difference between the class and the test? When you have a class, you're learning. When you have a test, you're graded on what you've learned in the class. Right? And it's an examination, a pass-fail kind of thing, even though we don't want to damage anyone's self-esteem now by saying that they failed a test. But this kind of a thing that we go through, life experiences, is really a class where God is teaching us certain things. There are certain things you're going to learn through this. Certain things you ought to say, Lord, help me to learn this so I don't have to repeat the class, if you don't mind. I'd like to be able to get this so I don't have to go through it again. Show me, Lord, my areas of weakness so I can keep them covered. Show me what I can do so that I can be faithful in this particular area of life. There may be something that becomes a temptation to you and you get defeated and you start to get really worried about it and say, well, wow, if I'm born again, how could I do that sin? How could I do that sin over and over again? How can I make that mistake over and over again? And you start to think, wow, maybe I don't have what I thought I had, and maybe I won't go to take communion foot washing with the saints, and maybe I'm not really meant for the rapture, and maybe I shouldn't even go to church. And all you're doing is giving in to the voice of the enemy that tries to keep you away from the tree of life, right? We can talk our way right out of the blessings of Almighty God. But this is a class to teach you how to conduct yourself during times like that. That's what this is about. That's what this service today is about, is to teach us what we should learn in this season of life that we go through, and we all go through it. And every divine promise of God in the Bible will produce, if it's met in the right kind of a heart. He said, if you need salvation, believe that he saves you and accept his sacrificial death, you'll receive what you ask for. If you're weary and gloomy and feel like that everybody's against you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God, in other words, in the class, we learn that when you're weary and gloomy, we got a place to go. That's what we learn in the class, right? Somebody say amen. You're all students, by the way. We're all students in this class. When you're weary and gloomy, here's what you can do. You come to him because he said, come unto me, all you that are laboring or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's a seed. And if you're sick, he was wounded for our transgression. So where's Brother Branham pointing us? He's pointing us back to the Word every time. Pointing us back to the Word every time. The fourth thing. This won't last forever. I'm glad for that. The problems that we face don't last forever. You weren't born with them. They won't last forever. Why don't we turn to him, Brother Manum says, where God is our abundant supply of joy, supply and praise, supply and satisfaction, and the calmness of my nerves come from God. When I get tore up, he said, I find satisfaction in Christ, not in a cigarette, not in the things of the world, not in joining some creed, but in finding him, the promised word that he said, if I go away, I'll come again to receive you. I find joy in that. He's my joy. And you know what? This is not going to last forever. This world is not going to last forever. There is hope. There's a promise. There's a body for me. And that body over on the other side, it's a body that's strong. It's a body that's disease-free. It's a body that's perfect over there because God made that one. Mom and Dad didn't make that one, but God made that one. And there's a calmness that comes over me when I know that God's really got this under control. And I'm going to turn to him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we're going to come to him. Deep call it to deep. The first thing you do, before you find a cure, you need to find a cause. The first thing you do, he said, a real doctor, a good doctor, will diagnose the case till he finds the trouble and then start working from there. A real doctor is going to attempt to go at it that way. And that's the same thing we have to do here. So when Brother Branham had that man in front of him, the first thing he acknowledged about that young man was that he had tried everything. I can see that. You've tried everything because you're frustrated. You wouldn't be in the prayer line unless there was something that was going on that you couldn't handle. You've tried everything. And here's where the problem is, but it didn't begin there. Here's where you had a problem before that, all the way back to his childhood here. And this has carried on and exacerbated itself in different forms and so forth. Now we come out here and you've got problems here that over-the-counter remedies and doctor's prescriptions. It's your problem. This is not going to help because we've got to go back to the cause. Now, in this case, which the case I'm referring to, the person who was scared by the dog there, he said, you know, this person's had a traumatic event here, and as a child, and this has imprinted him, and it's affected him, and so forth, and carried on through there. There are times when people can go through things that are truly physical. They're truly clinical. There are certain circumstances, and I'm not a doctor, and I'm not going to attempt to be one. And I'm not a psychiatrist, and certainly not going to attempt to be one. There are certain situations and certain conditions where sometimes, you know, seeking medical advice and medical attention and medical remedies, sometimes they're the things that are needed. Well, you say, oh, it can't be true. If you're a believer, it can't be true. Well, you know what? If you were a diabetic, you'd eventually wind up going to seek a doctor's care, right? You'd probably wind up taking his advice and taking the prescription and trying to do this to bring relief of the symptoms that you feel. And the knowledge that if I don't do anything, if I wind up practicing or if I wind up having diabetes, then this is probably going to be worse in the long run. There are two things, diabetes and diabetes, and so it's going to be worse in the long run. Let me tell you something. One person who takes medication for one thing should not criticize somebody for taking a medication for something else. If the need is legitimate, if it's a legitimate thing that's taking place, none of us should allow medicine to be God. None of us should allow medicine to be God. You know what? Because God is greater than any condition you have. Even though God's not going to turn around things like aging. I wish he would. I also wish he would not have said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But I didn't get a choice on that. I didn't write the book. But let me tell you something. I thank God for the doctors and the medications and the nurses and the medical help that we have. And the way that we're able to diagnose things now much better than what we used to be able to do it in the old days. Because in a lot of ways, medicine is a good guess. Most doctors will tell you that. And they'll listen, and they'll look at symptoms, and they'll hear your story and all the rest of it. But many times it's not definitive unless they get in there and kind of take a look. Sorry. But I will tell you this. That no matter which condition we face, we believe that God's our healer. God is greater than any condition that we can face. And we thank God for the advancements that medical technology has brought to us. But we should never ever consider that once I take the medicine, now God has no involvement in this anymore. No matter what we deal with, I think we should say, Lord, I'm your servant, I'm your child, and I know you're a healer. And it's not your desire for me to be unwell, that you never created us that way in the Garden of Eden. So, Lord, help me to do whatever I can. If there's something I can do that can maybe change my lifestyle, change my eating, change my exercise pattern or whatever else, Lord, let me do whatever I can because I want to sow good seeds. I want to begin to do the right things because I know that you want me to prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. Are we okay? Brother Branham said, that's the same thing we do here. He says, same thing we do here in the pulpit. It's not all just spiritual band-aids that we're going to put over everything. Everybody smile and be happy. Hey, there are good reasons why we're not happy. Brother Branham said God will allow difficulties to come in the church. He says to make that church shake him up and have him seek God afresh. He said God will allow certain things, times of depressing that will come into a church. He said for the church to realize in their desperation, we need God, and they begin to seek God afresh. Sometimes God will allow those things. But we have to find out the cause. Sometimes we have to find out, is that God doing something or is that the enemy trying to oppress me? One or the other. And we have to search out those things. He said if there's unconfessed sin or some out of the will of God, you can anoint them all night, cry and scream and do all you want to. That demon will stay right there because he has a right to. So there are certain things that we can do that can cause the problems that are there. And if we find out that it is us and there's something we can make right, make it right. That's what Brother Ram's telling us. All the cures are not fixed by laying on of hands. All the cures are not fixed by doctors giving you a prescription. Right? So therefore, we had to be spiritual. And we are the people now in the world who are a little bit different than the rest of the world, because we look at this and say, Lord, we want your will. We want the right way. We want healing to come from you. But Lord, if there's something that I've done, show me, Lord, so that I can make that thing right. Is that okay? Amen. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are on the internet, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm going to dwell on the positive things. I'm going to dwell on the good things. I'm going to thank God for the things He's provided. I'm going to thank God for the strength He gives. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stop there. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, those are good things to dwell on, aren't they, Brother Keith?
Yes, they are.
They are good things. God bless you. Welcome to the church tonight. Good to have you. I'll tell you what, saints of God, we have a lot of good things to dwell on. We have a lot of good things to think about. We have a lot of good testimonies of God's grace and God's virtue being expressed among His people. And I think it's an important thing for us to express those things and to be able to share those things with others to encourage them. Many times we only bring prayer requests to the pulpit. I think we should be bringing answers to prayer to the pulpit, because there are many answers to prayer. There are many things that God does and still does in the lives of His people. And we should be a people who are confident in turning to God. Because you know what? Let me just end and say this. God cares about what you're going through. God cares about the valleys you pass through. And God cares about you being alone and your feeling you have in being alone. And He has said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. Even though sometimes we feel alone, that's you feeling that. It's not the reality. The reality is He's with you somewhere. He's with you somewhere. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let's sing it tonight. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you, and let this world. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of my heart. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of He's my Lord. There is no other one who can calm the storm of life like my Lord. Brings rest to the weary, brings new life to the hopeless. There's no doubt about it. He's my Lord. Now, before we have a word of prayer, I want to remind you again. I've emailed you a word file, and everybody's on our update list, and you'll be able to look at all of these quotes that I gave today and many more besides, where Brother Branham encountered this over and over and over and over again in prayer lines and dealt with it and spoke about it. This is not something that's an obscure thing. This is something that was a very common thing for Brother Branham to encounter. Distresses of the mind, different situations that people were going through. And so I sent it to you for your edification so that you can look at it, you can read it, share it with your family, and maybe times to come, you know, you might draw strength from it. We're going to go out and have a little snack after church here. We're going to honor our graduates, and we're proud of them, and we're going to just celebrate a little time with them this evening here. But before we leave, and I know we're at the end of things, but before we leave, I wonder, could we have a word of prayer? And Jeremy, just put your cameras on me if you don't mind, so that you just have the privacy of this moment here. And we're going to leave, but if you don't mind, let's close our eyes and let's just bow our heads together. And I want you to do this with every eye closed. I want you to do this. Maybe there's something that you deal with. Maybe nobody knows about. Maybe you've never even told a doctor or anybody at all. But maybe something today that I've alluded to, or something Brother Ram's talked about, or the Scriptures talked about. Maybe just a feeling of being alone. Nobody cares. Just slip your hand up to God and just say, Lord Jesus, I just want to take you at your word. Lord, bring healing to my body. Whatever your need is, just slip your hand up to God now with nobody looking. Heavenly Father, we pause at the end of our day and we just want to say we thank you and love you because you always give us a place to turn. You always give us a place where we can lay down our burdens. We lay down our cares at your throne. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, but sometimes we feel that way because as humans we battle things out in our mind and Satan's voice becomes very loud sometimes. But I'm praying now that you would draw near to each one of these people here, especially those that have their hands raised. Especially those that are reaching out to you now, Lord. They need a touch. They need a sense of your presence for real in their lives. Not just a hope. But Lord, I pray you draw near to them and that you put your arm around each one. Comfort us, Lord, in thy presence, not only here in this building, Lord, but through our week and through our life, through our journeys. We need to know that when we go through the valleys, Lord, you're there. And when we're on the mountaintop, you're also there. I commit the people and their needs into your hands. We give thanks, Lord, because we know you love us and you care for us. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray for healing, healing virtue to flow in this area, same as any other area. Because sickness does not come from God. So we commit the people now into your hands. Bless our time of fellowship, I pray. We thank you for our graduates and what they've accomplished. And now in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray you would make our time special by standing among us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We'll see you on Wednesday night. I feel like going on. God bless you as you go tonight. I feel like God.